Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Thursday, July 8th, 2021. I'm Chance Miller. Leading off today, since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, a handful of studies have set out to determine whether wearables such as the Apple Watch can detect early signs and symptoms of the virus. A new paper published today in the JAMA Network Open highlights that wearables such as the Apple Watch and Fitbit can also provide data on long-term effects of COVID-19. As reported by the New York Times, the new data comes from the Digital Engagement and Tracking for Early Control and Treatment trial run by scientists at the Scripps Research Center. The study ran from March 25th of 2020 through January 24th of 2021, and it included more than 37,000 people wearing Fitbits, Apple Watches, or other wearables. The researchers first reported in October that combining data from Apple Watch and Fitbit with self-reported symptoms led to more accurate detection of COVID-19 cases than purely focusing on symptoms. But now researchers are diving deeper into the data with a focus on the lasting health effects of COVID-19, something that is oftentimes referred to as long COVID. At first, the researchers are focusing on data from Fitbit users, which shows that Fitbit can detect these lasting changes. The data shows that there was a much larger change in resting heart rate for individuals who had COVID compared to other viral infections. Sleep and physical activity levels also returned to baseline more slowly in those with COVID-19 compared to those with other infections. There was also a small subset of people with COVID whose heart rates remained more than 5 beats per minute above normal, as far out as 1 to 2 months after infections. 14% of those who contracted COVID-19 did not return to their normal heart rate for more than 133 days. While this subset of research focuses on the data from the Fitbit, the doctors doing the research say they have more planned for the future, integrating data from other wearables like Apple Watch. This study has been described as a preliminary study that opens up the door to many other studies down the road. You can find the full paper and all of the data at the link in the show notes below. In other news today, Facebook is continuing its battle to show Apple as a dominant platform in the smartphone ecosystem. The company has commissioned a new study that specifically makes the case that Apple limits competition with their pre-installed applications on the iPhone and iPad. Facebook paid Comscore to conduct the study that included asking about 4,000 people how they use iOS with default and third-party applications. The results found by Comscore line up with criticism Facebook has leveled at Apple and Google in the past, which is that pre-installed applications on iOS dominate, especially with the basics like messages, clock, photos, weather, and camera. iMessage is the thing that Facebook is most concerned with, which makes sense given that Facebook owns WhatsApp. The Facebook-commissioned study found that of the top 20 applications, 15 of them were made by Apple. The 5 third-party apps that made the list were YouTube, Facebook, Amazon, Instagram, and Gmail. Notably, Facebook was the only third-party developer to see 2 of its applications in the top 20. Facebook says that its goal with this study is to show the impact of pre-installed applications on the competitive app ecosystem. But Apple says the methodology of this study was seriously flawed in a number of ways, and it was specifically designed to give the false impression that there's little competition on the App Store. A company spokesperson said, quote, "In truth, third-party apps compete with Apple's apps across every category and enjoy large-scale success," end quote. This is a continuation of a battle that has been ongoing between Facebook and Apple for years now, but more notably it comes amid growing antitrust scrutiny of Apple and Facebook both, so it remains to be seen how regulators might use this study to factor into their decisions. Rounding out today, as we talked about yesterday, Apple is widely expected to unveil an all-new MacBook Pro lineup as soon as sometime this summer, with upgraded Apple Silicon processors inside, a new design, and more. Another one of the rumored changes is that Apple will drop the controversial Touch Bar in favor of a traditional function row of keys, And today, analysts at Display Supply Chain Consultants are corroborating this expectation. In a new report published this week, DSCC explains that the touch bar is currently the third largest use of OLED displays, but that because its sources indicate Apple will cancel the touch bar with a future MacBook Pro, this could impact future OLED shipments for suppliers. A variety of other sources have also indicated that Apple plans to kill the touch bar with the upcoming MacBook Pro redesign as soon as this summer, including reliable sources like Ming-Chi Kuo and Bloomberg. The touch bar, which is an OLED display that sits in the place of traditional function keys, was first introduced in the MacBook Pro in 2016, but it has not been well received by many Pro users. You can keep up with all of the latest MacBook Pro rumors at the link in the show notes below. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller. And be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.